Hey, y'all, good morning. Okay, first of all, I don't dress like Scott. I dress like those people back there. That's a nice tie, though. But if it's not a clip-on, I can't do nothing with it, so that's not my style. So I'm kind of casual, so I hope it's not too casual and do that. I was here 4 years ago. Who was here when I was here 4 years ago? Okay, a bunch of y'all. Do you remember how I started 4 years ago? Remember? Oh, you do remember, don't you? Right? I was the guy who started snapping my fingers, and I said, every second, two people what? Die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, if the Lord allows you to, another 150,000 people have taken their last breath, walked off in eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Okay, so simple question for you, Lantana. Do you care about those two people, okay, that are going to die today in this second, but do you care enough to do something about where those two people are going to spend eternity that are going to die in this second? Because it's one thing to say, hey, I care about these people, but if you don't care enough to do something about it, then you really don't what? You really don't care, right? But as Christians, we should be the most caring people that have ever walked on planet Earth. Is that correct? Is that correct? There shouldn't be a soul in Tennessee that cares more about a person than you folks in this church, me in Atlanta, Georgia, that do that, okay? Since I was here 4 years ago, who in here has had somebody pass away in the last 4 years? Someone you know. Yeah, I mean, we're walking out of here, just like that. We're here 1 second, and then we're gone. Earlier this year, I got a phone call that one of my high school buddies, one of my running mates, Tate, had passed away. And I couldn't be at the funeral because I was preaching that weekend somewhere. So I told one of my buddies, go to the funeral and just tell me what happens. And so he texted me while I was gone, and he said, Mark, call me as quick as you can. Well, when I finally called John, he emailed me this picture, and it was a picture of Tate standing in a baptismal a pool, whatever you call it, and with the pastor standing next to him. He said, Mark, call me as quick as you can. And so I called John. See, that's not Tate. Tate was a running mate of mine. We were lost guys. We caused trouble back in the day, okay? But I used to take Tate to lunch once a year, once every couple years, and we'd have in a lunch table in Atlanta. And one thing I'd always do is share with him about who? Jesus Christ. And even Tate said to me one time, he said, Mark, you're the only friend I've got that ever tells him about Jesus Christ and stuff about eternity. Well, now, wait a minute, okay? Do you think I'm the only friend he had that believed in Jesus Christ in Atlanta, Georgia? What do you think? Of course not. There's no way on earth, okay? But I'm willing to take a chance. I'm willing to lose a friendship to gain an eternal friend. Great way to look at it. I'm willing to lose a friendship to gain an eternal friend. Okay, I told you last time that I know Charles Barkley, the basketball player. Yes, I've witnessed to him more than once. Okay, I'm willing to lose a friendship to one day gain an eternal friendship with him. It's that important to me, okay, to do that. And what happened was, is Tate got into the movie industry, a lot of drinking, drugs, and he started living at those weekly hotels, you know, where you spend, you know, pay for 1 week and all that stuff. Well, some Baptist church that was near over there started ministering at that hotel, going in, knocking on people's doors at this daily, weekly hotel, started witnessing to Tate. Tate started coming. I ended up calling the pastor of the church, and found out Tate repented of his sins, got saved. They have a picture of him in the baptismal registry. Just this glow on his face. He looked like an 18-year-old boy again. He just had that look, you know, when someone's really serious about God. He said Tate struggled. He said it was two steps forward and one step back sometimes because he stayed working in the Hollywood industry, which can be very dangerous for you. He died earlier this year. He had just destroyed his body with drugs and stuff and all that other stuff. But, you know, I always wondered, why Tate didn't pick up the phone and call me and tell Mark, hey, by the way, Mark, got to tell you something. You were the only one to witness me, but I got saved, okay? You know, he never did. I can't worry about that, okay? I'm just worried I'm going to see him again in heaven one day when it's all said and done, okay? So we plant, Paul plants, Apollos watered, but who gives the increase? And that's the God we were going to talk about these 3 or 4 days of revival and do that, okay? That we want to keep falling in love with him and do that. But time is precious. Scoots by very, very quickly. We got to use it wisely because your friends are walking out of here. I just want them to pass through the baptismal registry as they head on out. That's what I want to see them do that, okay? Now, remember, I was also the guy who told you about those near-death experiences. Remember the people that flatline and saw the hell experience and stuff like that? Again, to be very careful with these, especially the heaven ones. So we just had a boy come out last year. And one of the boys who had a book come out and a DVD and all this stuff, he came out last year and said, by the way, I just need to let you know that I 100% what? Lied. It wasn't true. I didn't see all that stuff, okay? I did it for attention, but the publishing company that put the book out did it for what? Nichols. Lifeway Publishing had to pull all his stuff off the shelf, all his stuff and all this false teachings out there because some boy lied, okay? But I'm the one that told you that I have seen all these people who flatlined who actually saw the hell experience and not the heaven experience. And I actually just ran into the 33rd person that had the hell experience. I was chatting with a nurse in the Atlanta airport earlier this year. She told me she walked into a room to check this man's vital signs. She walks up to the bed. All of a sudden, he starts screaming, "My feet are on fire, my feet are on fire. Heat is coming through the bed. Do something for me, do something for me." Flatlined and died right in front of her. And she looked at me in that Atlanta airport, and she said to me, "I know without a shadow of a doubt that man died and went to hell." She said, "I've seen so many people die." She said, "I know the good ones from the bad ones, okay? Do something for me." "Oh, no, no. See, I do something for you before you take your last breath, right? Isn't that what we do, Christians? Okay? I need to do something before you get to that deathbed there and do that. That's why I took Tate to lunch all those times and shared Christ with him and do that, okay? I got to do it before that because I may lose touch with you, okay? But I want to make sure I know where you're going and do that." So that's why you're going to say time is precious. This isn't a game. Okay? LSU, Alabama, that's a game. Tennessee versus Tech, that's a game. The moment you meet Jesus Christ face to face, game's up. Game is up. Okay? It's serious, serious business. The question is, are we going to take it serious business here? That's the question. We know it's serious business there, but will we take it serious here and do what the Lord's called us to do? Okay? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning and this evening. This talk is called Pray for Bob, so it's called Pray for Bob. So let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you for churches that set aside time for revival weeks. And as we know, we should personally be in a daily revival. Every day should be exciting as we serve you, Father God. But you know, sometimes, so you know, in the book of Galatians, it says, "Who cut in on you as you were running the race?" So sometimes we let things cut in on us. It can be, you know, a job, it can be an injury, it can be a sickness, it can be a financial issue. And sometimes we need these corporate times together to get back together as a group and then individually that we're going to stand bold for you day in and day out, all the days of our lives. So Father, I just hope this is a real encouraging week. And Father, if you give America one more year, no telling if you will or you won't the way we're going, but if you give us one more year and we come back next year and we sing a song called Revive Us Again, we can sit in our seats and say, "You know what? I've been revived the whole year. I've been strong the whole year. I've been in the Word the whole year. I've been praying the whole year. I've been sharing my faith the whole year. And now just kick me up to another level." And let's just be a church that's going to be that way until we see you face to face. And we thank you for that, and we do. And we ask it in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Okay. If you're taking notes, which I highly recommend taking notes, this talk is called Pray for Bob. Pray for Bob. If you're a graduate from UTK, Bob is spelled B-O, and you can probably figure out the rest. We knew at Auburn how to spell that, so it wasn't a problem. So, but if you're from Knoxville, we've got to help you here. So it's called Pray for Bob. So the first B of Bob is burden, okay? B-U-R-D-E-N, burden, okay? So pray for Bob. So if you have a burden for lost people, the rest is really easy after that. It's a piece of cake, okay? But if you don't have a burden for people, then there's a problem. And the problem is one of two things, okay? One, either you're not born again and saved, okay? And I mean that. The Bible says examine yourself, check yourself, make sure you're of the faith, okay? Because if you don't have a burden for lost people, it may be because you're not saved. Just real simple, okay? Because you see saved people in the Bible going for it, looking for opportunities to share their faith and do that, okay? Or something, as I said in the prayers, cut in on you as you're running the race, okay? We got to make sure that whatever's cut in on us, that isn't going to matter the day we meet the Most High God on Judgment Day when we walk out of here, okay? All right, so we're going to open up Bibles. So grab your Bibles. So grab your scriptures. So remember I told you 4 years ago when you open up this Bible, I said, be careful, okay? This is the most dangerous book in the history of the world. This book has changed lives for thousands of years. This book has changed countries if you ever study history. And there's a strong possibility on January 20th, someone's going to put their hand on this Bible and raise their right hand and be sworn into office and then not obey this Bible for 4 straight years. That happens all the time in our culture. And boy, oh boy, you can only mock God for so long before he drops the hammer. Okay? But if we church folk take this book more serious, then we'll get a country that takes it more serious. Because wouldn't it be nice to have righteous people running our country and doing that? Yeah, those are powerful verses. Love those verses, okay? So we're about to open this. So again, be careful, because you may not like some of the verses I used today, but don't come up and chat with me about them afterwards, because I didn't write the book, okay? So you'll get a chance to meet the author sometime soon. So if you feel like you want to have a chat about some of his verses, feel free. But I don't know how much chatting you're going to do. I had a lost guy in Atlanta one day, an atheist, and he kept pointing his finger. He said, "I can't wait to die." I said, "Why?" He said, "I got so many questions for God." And it's just like he was going to point his finger at God and start asking God questions. I looked at him and said, "No, you don't." He said, "What?" I said, "No, you don't." He said, "What?" I said, "You're not going to point your finger at God." I said, "If you look at Scripture, people go face down in front of angels in front of Scripture. When you meet the creator of everything, you're not going to be pointing your finger at him, okay?" I said, "Second of all, do me one favor before you die." He said, "What?" I said, "Read the last five chapters of Job before you die." He said, "Okay." I said, "Why?" I said, "If you read the last five chapters of Job, looks like to me God asked most of the questions, okay? You ever read those last five chapters of Job? When Job shuts up and God just starts speaking, he says, I'm not saying nothing now, okay?" He asked the questions, okay? We're going to worship this God and bow down before him by choice because we love him and do that, okay? All right, grab your Bibles. Be what? Careful. Careful, okay? Here we go. Go to John chapter 3. So burden, let's have a burden. John chapter 3. And of course, as you hear John chapter 3, you always think of what? 3:16. So I always say add 20 to it. Add 20 to it. Go to John 3:36. So you're actually going to go to the very last verse of John chapter 3. So a burden, okay? John chapter 3, verse 26. 36. So John chapter 3, verse 36. And it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." Okay? Does God have a wrathful side, yes or no? Yes, he does, okay? And what happens is when you get born again and saved, the moment you die, what you're going to get is the graceful, merciful, forgiving side of God. You're not going to get the wrathful side of God, okay? But God has a wrathful side. People will talk about hell, and they'll talk about it being a Christless eternity, that Christ is not there. Well, how could that actually be true? Because in the book of Revelation, it talks about the wrath of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? That's Jesus Christ. So God does have a wrathful side, okay? See, what they're doing is they're accepting the wrathful side of God because they rejected the merciful side of God by getting born again and saved. Does that make sense? The other way to look at it is also remember, Satan in hell would never be punishing people in hell. Satan is being what? Punished in hell. So he's not doing the punishing. He's being punished for his rebellion and rejection of the Most High God and do that, okay? So God has a wrathful side. I don't want anyone to see the wrathful side of God. I was in the Atlanta airport one day, and I was praying to find someone to witness to before I got on my flight, and I saw this man standing there by this wine bar. So I walked over to him, and so I started walking towards him. And all of a sudden, our eyes caught. And when you're going to talk to a stranger, when your eyes catch, you just nod and you keep going. So I just nod and keep going. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "Good." And he had all these tattoos on. I said, "What's your favorite tattoo?" And he just starts describing. And all of a sudden, he had an entire train set on his forearm, okay? Like a whole train set. Had a much bigger forearm than I did. And he had this huge train set. So we start talking back and forth. I start witnessing to him. "Do you like to read?" I said, "I love to read." Signed a book, gave it to him. He said, "Would you do me a favor?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you walk me to my plane? It's right over there." I said, "Sure." He said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "How did you pick me out of everybody in the airport to talk to? How'd you pick me?" Okay. I said, "Well," I said, "you want to know the truth?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You just looked interesting." Okay. And I just love interesting people. He was all tattooed up, real muscled up guy and everything. He looked at me and said, "I am so lost. I am so lost." Okay, 30 years old, handsome, all the rest. You thought he had everything, but he literally had what? nothing, okay? But do you have a burden for those people that are walking life, who have covered it all up on the outside, that life is A-OK special, but it's broken and shattered on the inside? Do you have a burden for those people? Because if you do, God's going to move you right into their lives and do that, okay? I was in some shoe store, and the lady helped me. She had two Star of David's tattooed on her arms right here. I said, we were chit-chatting. I said, hey, so I said, I saw your Star of David's there. I said, are you Jewish? She said, no. I said, okay, I see two Star of David's tattooed. And I said, why did you tattoo two Star of David's on? She said, because I didn't want people to ask me if I was a Christian. I was like, ooh, isn't that interesting, okay? I said, okay, why wouldn't you want them to ask you a Christian? So bingo, we started talking. Well, she used to be a missionary to the Indian tribes here in America. She used to go with a group and do this, and she's completely 100% walked away from it. See, it's nice to see young people here at church, but where are they going to be in a year? Where are they going to be after 1 year at UTK, where they rip the Bible to shred in classrooms up there? Where are they going to be? I was talking to a pre-med student last night here in town. Where are you going to be after 7 years of biology? Where are you going to be when one of my friends, he was University of Pennsylvania, he was looking at the med school there, and they popped up a slide that said up there, you are now the abortion providers of tomorrow. Yeah. But that kid loved the Lord. That kid was taught correctly by his parents. His dad was with him on the trip. His dad's a doctor. He looked at his father and said, Dad, I won't be going to this college. Okay, he wasn't going to be the abortion providers of tomorrow. There's no way, man. Look at that little baby back there I was chatting with earlier today. We're talking to this family and stuff. And just, you don't kill those babies. You enjoy those babies, right? And do that stuff. That's the lie of Satan again in doing that. So I said, well, what's your biggest struggle? She said, I don't know if Jesus actually did all those miracles. Okay? That's a great question, okay? Because that's one of the things that sets him apart from every other person that walks on planet Earth. And Catherine and I had this great talk in the shoe store, but you got to be careful. Because just because you see a miracle, that doesn't mean the person's of God. There's a lot of false miracles going on, right? And doesn't it say that the Antichrist is going to pop up one day? And it says in Thessalonians that he's going to do lying signs and wonders, and we call those what? Miracles, okay? So if I don't know what the real ones are, then I might not be able to spot the false one when it pops up one day. But Catherine, but do you have a burden for those people that used to be serious about this and have walked away and done that? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Go to Hebrews 9. So have your Bibles. We're going to bounce through a bunch of verses for you, okay? So go to Hebrews 9. So Hebrews chapter 9, and go to verse, someone a lot of us know, go to verse 27. Hebrews 9, 27, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to what? Die, and after this the judgment. Look at 28. So Christ has once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So there's a whole bunch in these two verses. Is Jesus Christ coming back? Yes. I had a Muslim tell me the other day that Jesus Christ is coming back to preach Islam all across the world. Is that correct? No, he's coming back in judgment the next time. He's not coming back to preach Islam all across the world, but that's one of the false teachings he got. If you look at 28, I just realized this. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. What's interesting is I'm a former Roman Catholic, and the highest part in an evangelical church is when we break open the Word of God. But in a Roman Catholic church, the highest part in a Roman Catholic church, does anyone know what the highest part is in a Roman Catholic church? Okay, they'll talk a little bit, but then they come up here and they take the Eucharist, and it's called transubstantiation. And they're actually taking Jesus off the right hand of the Father. You just sang a song about him going up to be with the Father. They bring him down to the altar. They re-crucify him on the altar, and the wafer becomes the actual body of Christ, and the wine becomes the actual blood of Christ. It's called transubstantiation. So he's being re-crucified over, I think there's like 50,000 masses every day in the world, okay? So he's being re-crucified over and over. Oh, wait a minute. He died what? once for all sins. See, that's one of the things as I began to research and study this. Well, I ended up leaving Catholicism and got born again and saved because what I was being taught didn't match up with the scriptures were saying, okay? And I got to go with one or the other, right, and do that. So go back to 27. That's where I was actually going. And is it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment? So if you only die once, that eliminates what belief system at that moment? Which one? Reincarnation now, because you're dying over and over and over again and do that, okay? No, you only die once. And then comes the judgment. So this is how serious this is. When you come to a funeral, you may see the body there, but that soul has gone to judgment. And are they ready for that judgment? Okay. I was preaching in Dallas, Texas. So I always pray for whatever restaurant I'm going to go eat at after Sunday church, because you can go eat at any of those restaurants, but you can only meet certain people at certain restaurants. So I always pray for whoever my waiter and waitress is going to be, okay, because I like to meet people. Life is about people. The cross is about people getting right with God, right? And sometimes we want to avoid people instead of walking into people's lives and do that. So I was in this restaurant, and I buy people's meals at times. So I bought this table their meal, and I always go let them know. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive, and I live by that. Tell them why I did it and stuff like that. I did that last night at a restaurant here. Just wound up being a crazy fun conversation. Well, I did this in Texas, so I started talking to my waiter. His name was J.D. I said, J.D., tell me something interesting about yourself. That's a great question. Tell me something interesting about yourself. Because a lot of people, what you may think is interesting may not be what they think is interesting, right? But it's just a good question. Tell me something interesting about you. He said, my father was the pilot of the Leonard Skinner plane that crashed going to Baton Rouge, Louisiana back in the 70s. So you remember the band Skinner back in the day? Remember they were going to Baton Rouge to play a concert and their plane crashed into the woods in Mississippi, where Ronnie Van Zant died, a couple of the band members and stuff died. And I said, JD, I said, your dad was the pilot of the plane? He said, yeah, you know how just you get in your own world sometimes? All we thought about was the Skinner band. You forgot there was a pilot on there. There were flight attendants on there that passed away. And aren't their souls just as important as Ronnie Van Zant's soul? Of course it is, right? But sometimes you just get in your world. I said, JD, I said, how old were you when your dad died? He said, I was 7 years old. I said, JD, I said, how was it growing up without your father? Bingo. He opens up and starts chit-chatting. We had the most interesting talk in the middle of this Chili's restaurant, whatever it was, in the middle of Dallas, Texas. And as we were chatting, I said, JD, do you have any religious background? He said, yeah, I grew up a pretty strong Christian back in the day. I said, how about now? I said, nah, I'm not much into it now. And do this. We began to talk, began to share with him, gave him something to read and stuff. But do you have a burden for people who just are going through life and meandering through life? And again, if you remember anything about the plane, I remember it all because 3 weeks later, we had tickets to go see Skinner. I was in high school at the time and had tickets to see Skinner at the Omni in Atlanta. And we had to return the tickets. We needed our money back. And we had good seats, $6.25. Remember those days when things were cheap back in the day? And so I went home and I did some more research on the plane crash. Well, actually what happened was they ran out of gas. They ran out of gas and hit the trees in Mississippi, and that's how people died. So how would you like to be going through life knowing as your daddy killed Skinner? How would you like that, okay? See, people have burdens in life, and we don't even, but do you care about the JDs? Do you care about the waiter and waitress today when you go grab something to eat? Or are you just going to pass right on by and not even care about their soul? Do you know waiters and waitresses sometimes will tell you on Sundays that they wish they could go to church on Sunday, but they had to work a shift and they couldn't do it? They'll actually tell you that. And by the way, they'll also tell you they actually hate working Sundays, because who shows up? We show up. Yeah, and we leave a little track booklet there and 50 cents and walk out the door, and they worked hard for a living today. Instead of getting dessert, take that extra money, leave it as a tip for somebody. I'm a big tipper, and I just Christians, we set standards. We're not like everybody else. We're not like everybody else. We set standards everywhere we go and do that before. Matter of fact, I've had owners of hotels call me before, because when I went into hotels, I bless the people that work there. I talk with them. I make sure I know their names, okay, and things like that, because they're just as valuable as two presidential candidates are to the Most High God and do that, okay? And we have to live life like that and do that. But do you have a burden for the JDs of the world? Go back to Jeremiah 20. Let's go back to Jeremiah. So you got a bunch of big books there, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. So you're going to look for Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah 20. And let's go to verse 8. And Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 20. And verse 8. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Okay? By the way, if you stand up for God and Jesus Christ, young people in your high school, your sports teams, adults in your workplaces, military, I just spoke to a bunch of West Point cadets in, did a retreat for a bunch of cadets about 3 weeks ago, and we did a Q&A time, and one of their questions was on the topic of homosexuality, and I asked them the question, is that getting bigger at West Point? Every kid just popping their head up. Bigger and bigger and bigger. And they told me the Secretary of the Army is already, it's a male married to another guy. It's already up to the Secretary of the Army. That's how high it's gotten up, okay? And so the kids we were talking about, and one thing I tell them, though, is that if you're not willing to stand up for biblical truth, I said, who is? Who is? I said, you're sitting, you know, they're all 18 to 22. They got the big dreams of life and all that. I said, you're sitting here wondering if you're ever going to be a four-star general, okay? And the moment you meet God, it doesn't matter if you're a four-star general, okay? Did you stand up for Christ, even willing to take the mockery? That's what Jeremiah's talking about. He's getting mocked for this. We were just standing in front of, we have Phillips Arena in Atlanta. It's where all the concerts are at. So we stand out there and hand tracts to people. Hey, did you get one of these? And we'll talk to people and stuff. And one guy didn't want what I had. He knew it was Christian stuff. And I said, hey, man, I said, just by the look on his eyes, I said, hey, man, you need to make sure you get right with Jesus. And he pointed inside towards the concert. He said, Yeezus. And one of the names for Kanye West is Yeezus. He's actually making a mockery of the name of Jesus Christ, okay? I said, no, I said, Jesus. He said, Yeezus. And three different times we went back and forth on Jesus versus Yeezus, okay, and do that. No, you can mock me on the streets of Atlanta if you want to, okay? I got spit at by some guy at a football game one time, and it was kind of fun. We got the police involved, so it was kind of interesting, and all that. So you can mock us, but you have to make a decision. What are you going to do if someone's going to mock you and do that? Well, let's see what Jeremiah did. Go to verse 9. Just go to the very next verse. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. That's a choice you get to make. You can shut up if you want to. But I always tell people, God puts you in a point. You're either going to shut up or you're going to speak up, one of the two. Okay? And he's got most of us as Christians, Satan has most of us Christians shut up just where he's want us at. When it's time to speak up, look at this country we live in. You folks with some age under your belt. Think back 30, 40 years and then how we've gotten to today. What in the world happened to the greatest country, still the greatest country on planet Earth? What happened to this place? Okay? Well, Christians started backing up. Satan started moving up forward and taking territory, and we just kept backing up the whole time, okay? But when are you going to start moving forward and start standing up for what's right and what's wrong in our culture and not worry what the consequences are going to be? I always tell people all the time, you know, we want all the chips in our life just stacked up nice and pretty in our lives and nice, smooth little lives. Life doesn't work that way. Stand up for what you believe and let the chips fall where they may, okay? And remember, God owns all the chips. They're all his chips anyways. Okay? But I'm worrying about what's this result going to be? What's going to happen? Well, let's see what Jeremiah did. Go to the very next sentence. I will not speak anymore in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah, he was so in love with God and Jesus Christ, you could not shut him up to save your life, okay? It was burning. He couldn't wait to get it out of there. But see, what's happened in our lives that some of us in the last week, we've talked more about the Tennessee Volunteers than we have the Lord Jesus Christ with lost people this week. How did that happen? How come when I speak at churches in Alabama, and I'll say this, I'll look in the parking lot, and there'll be more little flags on cars for Auburn, Alabama, and yet you'll stand up more for Auburn and Alabama in a week than you will the Lord Jesus Christ? How did we ever get to this point? Listen, if Butch Jones and Nick Saban and all these guys don't get born again and say they've absolutely wasted their lives, they've wasted their lives. And one thing I tell people all the time, especially young people when I speak to them, is don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. I just got a phone call the other day from a lady. She read One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. She lives up in Jersey, and she lives by the Jersey Shore. So she was reading the book One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, and what's the one thing you can't do? Witness to lost people. So she's sitting on the Jersey Shore reading the book One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven as all these lost people are walking past her on the Jersey Shore. Okay? And she called me and said, I can't just sit here and read this book. I need to do something about this. Okay? So she called me. Do you have some tracts? Sure. We sent her some tracts and stuff. Well, she calls me back. Let me tell you something. I'm having more fun on the Jersey Shore. She said, I'm walking up to people, chatting with people, having a blast planting seeds. She said, oh, by the way, she said, I'm 75 years old. Okay? And all I think of, I completely wasted all those years to get here to 75. I can't believe all the years I've wasted when I should have been doing what the Lord and the Bible told me. I said, no, ma'am. I said, you grab that plow and you look forward and you finish well and don't look back is what I told her, because that's scriptural, okay? Because if you're cutting through with a plow and you're gonna lay seed and you turn your head back, what happens to your hands? Your hands turn, you don't have a straight line. So we just link it today with a cell phone. If you're in a car driving and you look at your cell phone, what happens to your hand? Your hand moves, and that's why you go off the side of the road. So it's the same thing. God says, stay focused with blinders on like horses this direction, okay? Put that, it's all vanity. Put it behind, underneath the blood. Leave it back there and finish this race well, I told her, and then hand that baton to other people behind you that can follow and keep it going as you pass on to the heavenlies and be with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? But is it burning within inside of you that you can't talk about Jesus Christ with somebody? Today, at lunch, in the restaurant, a relative and do that. We get our cars in Georgia inspected, so we get these inspection stickers. Well, I go to the same place every year because the same guy works there, Kareem, he's from Somalia, and he's this Muslim from Somalia. So I go back to the same place every single year and continue my conversation every single year with Kareem because I'm trying to plant seeds with him, okay? And Somalia has some pretty strong Muslims that come out of there. So we're talking back and forth. And last time he told me, because they believe in a paradise and a hellfire, they believe there's a great weighing scale, put all your deeds on it. You have a good angel on one shoulder, writes every good deed you do. Bad angel on the other shoulder, writes every bad deed. They get actually flopped on a scale. Okay, and if it tilts towards bad, you get hellfire. It tilts towards good, you get paradise. It's all based upon what? Works. It's all works-based, okay? No forgiveness in that religious system. And then he told me last, and he said, Mark, by the way, Allah predetermines who actually goes to paradise and who actually goes to hellfire. I was like, what? I said, come on, Kareem. I said, are you telling me that God doesn't give you free will? And so we started talking about that. And I said to him, in Deuteronomy, God says, I set before you life and death. What? Choose life. Okay, you get to make. Kareem, you get to be nice to me when I come in. I get to be nice to you and stuff like that. You can choose to accept Jesus Christ or you can choose to reject Jesus Christ. That's your choice, Kareem. Is that correct? That's correct. Okay, so we just lay it out there. But do you have a burden for the Kareems of the world? You see them every day in a gas station. You see them every day in a convenience store. You're willing to get involved in their life a little bit and chat with them? Go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and go to verse 8. Go to verse 8, Revelation 21, verse 8. And it says, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all what? Liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Is there a lake of fire for people when they die without Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Okay, do you have a burden though? that nobody would ever see a lake of fire for a split second, let alone for all of eternity, and do that? I was given a different talk one time, and I was somewhere here in Tennessee, Dollywood or somewhere in that area, what is that? Sevierville and all that stuff over there? And yeah, and I was doing a big one of those theater things, and so I was given a different talk, but I used this verse, okay? I used Revelation 28. So when I finished, I walked off the stage, and all the sound stuff was off on the side of the stage. So I walk off the stage, and there's a guy sitting in the sound booth, and he points at me. He said, "Come here." And I said, "Okay." So I walk over there. I said, "What?" He said, "Show me that verse again, where all liars go to hell, okay? A lake of fire." So I pulled it back out off on the side over there. See, we get murderers go there, don't we? We figured that one out, okay? A whoremongers, adulterers, we understand all that. But all what? See, because now that puts all of us in that category. See, people don't understand the holiness of God. And because he's holy, you have to have zero sin to get into his presence for eternity. Well, isn't it nice to know that the blood of Christ cleanses you of all sin? Isn't that nice to know? Okay. And he was over there as I'm doing this verse. It was a big youth event. And that verse was drilling this dude over here. He was getting convicted as we were chatting, okay, just by that one verse. Because that's what truth does. Do you have a burden for those people? Okay, I was in Florida one time doing some prison ministry work. Who in here has done prison ministry work before? Who's ever done it here at your church? Okay, that's not enough hands. You need to get involved in prison ministry work. I will just tell you, the moment you walk into a prison and you witness to prisoners, everybody on the outside is a whole lot easier. I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? There's just something about that dynamic. And when you talk to murderers and rapists and child molesters, which you will meet, okay, trust me, Mr. and Mrs. Convenience Store, a piece of cake, okay? They're no problem at all, okay? So I was in Florida. We were speaking at some prisons, and I'm in this women's prison, and I'm talking with an officer, and there's a lady, one of our group, and she's talking to one of the inmates. So I'm talking with this officer, and she looks at me, and she points at me, and she says, "Come here." People like pointing at me. Please don't point at me today, okay? And so I said, no, because I'm having a good talk with this officer. She points a second time, "Come here." I said, "Nope, I'm talking with this guy." She points a third time and says, "Come here." And I kind of figured, I said, well, we're in prison. No one's going anywhere. I can come back to this guy, right? Right? They're not leaving. So I said, "I'll be right back. I'm going to go over here." So I walk over there. "Hey, how you doing?" She said, "This lady needs to say something to you." I said, "Okay." She said, "My name is D.D. Maurice." I said, "Okay." She said, "I'm a convicted murderer." I said, "Okay." She said, "I prayed to God last night." I said, "Okay." This is Ocala, Florida. "I prayed to God last night. I said, God, if you exist, I want to meet Mark Cahill tomorrow morning." And I'm Mark Cahill. And I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and this is Ocala, Florida. I said, "Wait." I said, "Why'd you pray that?" She said, "You wrote a book called One Heartbeat Away." I said, "Yes." She said, "I read that book about 2 years ago in a prison somewhere down near Miami, okay? And when you move prisons in Florida, they only allow you to take one book with you. What's the only book they let you take? Isn't it amazing that the prison system takes this book more serious than the public school system does in America? How far have we fallen in our country? Wouldn't you rather get them the truth before they get to jail? Right? Wouldn't that make sense? It just makes sense, okay, and do that. She said, "I read that book. I heard you're in the area, and I prayed that, God, if you exist, I want to meet Mark Cale tomorrow morning." I said, "Dee Dee," I said, "to the moment you die, you can now never say that there is not a what? God." I said, "He answered your prayer. We're standing right here talking this morning." Great chat. By about 5 or 6 hours later, she was with some of the ladies chatting with us. She repented of her sins and got born again and saved and do that. Can a murderer get saved? Yes or no? Yes, you're going to meet a Moses one day in heaven. And Moses was a murderer, but when he got right with God, called the most humble man that walked on planet Earth. You're going to meet a King David on the other side, okay? I actually don't think he's going to be King David. I think he's just going to be David, because there's only one king on the other side, okay? But he'll be David. But David was a murderer, and when he got right with God, was called a man after God's own heart, okay? So you're going to reach these people and do that, okay? Matter of fact, I was leaving a church in Alabama one night, stopped at a gas station, started talking to two guys in a Jeep sitting there, and one guy looked at the other one and said, "Should we tell them?" And sure enough, this guy in the Jeep, something happened, some fight, and someone died. And he was up on manslaughter charges, and he eventually got convicted and had to go to jail for a while. But it was just at a gas station talking to someone who had killed somebody, just at a gas station on a Sunday night, heading back to Atlanta from somewhere, okay? Do you have a burden for these people? I know God does. The cross is the proof of his burden. The question is, will I have a burden for these people and do that, okay? So the first B is burden, okay? The O is opportunity, okay? So first B is burden, O is opportunity. So you pray for a burden, then God, give me that opportunity to stand up for you, okay? So go to Colossians 4. Colossians 4. So G-E-P-C, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Georgia Electric Power Company, according to one of my eighth grade students back in the day. But then some lady told me, go everywhere preaching Christ. I like that one better, don't you? G-E-P-C, go everywhere preaching Christ. Go to Colossians 4. Who's in high school in here? Who's in high school? Okay, nobody on that half of the room. Okay, okay. I used to teach high school, and some of my students would leave these verses, Colossians 4, 2 through 6, they would leave it open by their bed, and they would read it every night. Some of my students would. They just love these verses on witnessing, Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Open up a door for me to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Use your time wisely. Life goes by quick, doesn't it? You folks with some age on your belt, did life go by quick, yes or no? It's insane. You can't explain it to them. That little baby back there is going to be 18 and gone in 2.5 weeks, something like that. It goes so fast. It's crazy, okay? Redeem the time. Use your time wisely. 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. What's the one word that will season up any conversation anywhere? What's the word? I don't care anywhere in the world you go. If you throw one word into a conversation, it automatically spices up a conversation. What's the word? It's Jesus. Yeah, it's not God. It's Jesus. When that word pops into a conversation, things happen. There's something about the power of that word and do that. I was in speaking. I was up in Chicago, and I was on a thrifty car rental bus, and I was going to get my thrifty car. So there's a guy from India next to me. So I started talking to him. Began to witness to him, mentioned Jesus. He wants nothing to do with it, okay? Nope, not interested, thank you very much. Nope, 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 nope. He starts talking to the person in front of me in this little tiny bus, right? So it gets really awkward very quick, okay? So I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden there's a husband and wife sitting next to me. And the guy looks at me. He said, excuse me. I said, yeah. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He said, were you at a coffee shop 2 years ago in Des Moines, Iowa, heading towards the airport, yes or no? And my little Rolodex went off, and I said, actually, I was. Yeah, I stopped at this coffee shop on the way to this Des Moines airport. He said, you talked with me and a friend of mine, Hmong, H-O-M-O-N-G, it's an Asian group, a Hmong friend of mine in a coffee shop 2 years ago, okay? And we're sitting on a thrifty car rental bus in Chicago O'Hare Airport, okay? He was looking at me like he had seen a ghost, okay? He had this look on his face. And it's his wife. I said, what are y'all doing here? We're taking a trip over here. And this, I said, well, have you gotten saved yet? He said, no. I said, would you do me a favor? He said, I said, would you get saved so I'd stop meeting you at every airport in America? I got something to do with my life, okay? Would you please do it? And we just had a nice chat. But again, see, that's why I pray for opportunities. I thought the opportunity was the Indian gentleman, but no, it wasn't. It was the guy and his husband, wife sitting next to him, okay? So that's why I want the burden for people. Then I just pray for the open door and do that. I'm riding my bike in Atlanta. And on this one route I take, there's this huge cemetery. And I was riding my bike past the cemetery. And I see four people standing near this tombstone, but had these really fresh flowers. So what does that mean? Somebody just died, okay? So I'm riding my bike pack, and everything in my system said, Mark, stop and go talk with these people. I'm like, you can't just go over there and biking stuff. And I kept driving, I looked, and they're still there. Everything in my system said, stop and go talk with these people, okay? I said, you just can't get up. Okay, does anyone in here talk with themselves? Do you talk with yourselves? I'm not the only one, right? Okay, all right, so I'm just, And I didn't hear any voices from God. I don't hear voices. I just obey the scriptures. But everything said stop. So I stopped. I put my bike. I parked my bike. I start walking to this tombstone with biking gear, helmet on, all 9 yards. And I start walking. So as I walk towards the tombstone, there's 3 ladies and a man. The man just kind of walks away by himself. So I walked up and said, "Hey, how y'all doing?" They said, "Good." I said, "Who passed away?" They said, "Our mother." I said, "Really?" I said, "How you doing?" Isn't that just a good question? How you doing? It's just a good, how you doing? So he said, they start talking about their mom and stuff like that. And I said, "By the way," I said, "was she born again? Was she saved?" And their faces lit up. "Oh, mama loved the Lord. She just loved the Lord." And they start talking about mom. I said, "Well, you know, if you could talk to your mom right now, she would tell you the same thing Paul said to Timothy. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the course, okay?" I said, "Do the same thing. Finish the race. Keep the course, and mama would be happy if you finish your life." Their eyes go. She said, "That was mama's favorite verse." I said, "What?" "Yeah, it was in her bulletin yesterday at the funeral, da, da, da." Okay, I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, do you like to read?" They said, "Yeah." So I keep a little Ziploc bag in my thing, and I have money in there to bless people, gospel tracts. So I gave him some tracts. I said, "Hey, I write books. Email up. I'll get you some books and everything." All of a sudden, the guy walks back. He said, "Who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm a Christian speaker, author. I stopped over here to chat with your sisters and stuff, da, 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 da." They're all 50s and 60s. And he looked at me and said, "Mama sent you." I said, "What?" He said, "Mama sent you." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Mama sent you, didn't she?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, before my mom died, she looked at each one of the kids and spoke something to him, and then she looked at him, the man, and said, 'Ray, you're not born again and saved. Ray, I will never see you again after I take a last breath. Ray, you need to get saved. Okay? Ray, I'm going to send you a sign from the other side, Ray. Okay? That I'm A-okay, Ray, and you need to get saved. Okay?'" And he looked at me and he said, "Mama sent you, didn't she?" I said, "Ray," I said, "I don't think so. I said, I think your mama's enjoying Jesus Christ big time right about now, okay? But I think God had me ride my bike by here today and burdened my heart for you and your family." I said, "Ray, what is holding you back from being saved?" Bingo, we started talking, and this, and he just, you know, just life, and started talking, witnessing to him, "Do you like to read?" He said, "I am not a reader." I said, "Okay." I said, "Here's my digits. Get a hold of me if I can ever help you out." Shook some hands up, got back on my bike. When I came back down that trail, they were gone. So if I didn't stop when the Lord burdened my heart, I wouldn't have saw them on the way back and done that, okay? Next week, 2 of the ladies emailed me, wanted my books and DVDs. Ray emails me 3 months later. "Hey, can I get that book, One Heartbeat Away? I need to search this out." Okay, I said, "Okay, here it is, Ray. Here's my email." See, when God gives you the opportunity, we just have to have the burden and walk right in the middle of the opportunity. Does that make sense? Okay, and then the last B, so burden, opportunity, and then the last B is boldness, okay? So burden, opportunity, and boldness, okay? And burden, opportunity, boldness. So let's go to Proverbs 28, do a couple verses here, and we'll close it for you here. Now, your memorization was Proverbs 29, right? Yeah, so go to Proverbs 28. So Proverbs 28, and go to verse 1, and it says, Proverbs 28, verse 1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Okay? Righteous people, biblical people, were supposed to be bold as a lion. You're not supposed to be a wimp for Jesus Christ, okay? That's not what we're supposed to be, okay? We're supposed to be bold as a lion, okay? We're supposed to care so much about people. We're willing to get involved in people's lives. We're willing to overhear a conversation, accidentally butt into them. I do that all the time. It's a lot of fun. And just get involved in people's lives and do that, okay? But that's what followers of Christ are. We're bold. We take a stand. We don't care what anybody thinks. I sent out a newsletter 3 weeks ago on who I'm voting for and why. Okay, and I told the lady who spits them all out for me at the newsletter list, I told her, I said, "We'll get a lot of unsubscribes to the newsletter after this." And I told her, I said, and by the way, I don't care. I don't care. You need to stand up for what you know to be righteous and don't care what other people think about that. The day somebody believes one day before a baby's born, you can go in there and crush that skull and drag that baby out and think that's an A-OK thing to do. We've passed murder. That's called genocide. That's called genocide, okay? And the day you won't stand up for that little baby back there is the day you'll never stand up for me either and do that. I always tell people, if you don't care about the babies, you don't care about me. You can't care about me. And the day Christians will not stand up for babies and the day we will not stand up for biblical marriage is the day you need to take the towel and throw the towel in and just give up and hope some prayer you said at 14 is enough to get you through the gates of heaven and be right with Christ for eternity. Okay? Oh, we were looking at the track you put together and the last part of that track is a commitment. And when I said yes to Christ when I was 25 years old, I'm 54 now, and I said yes to Jesus Christ, I didn't understand the whole commitment that came with it. I'll be honest with that. But I've gotten bolder and bolder and bolder through the years, okay, because I know what the right answer is, and I'm going to stand up for this right answer. And is it going to cost me something? You better believe it's going to cost me something. But it cost him a heck of a lot more than it's ever going to cost me in this lifetime. And will he, and is he worth that to you and do that? And see, I believe he is worth that. And you're going to know it the moment you meet him. But always remember in life, you don't get a do-over. You don't get a mulligan in life. You don't get a second chance to live this life. You got one shot, Hebrews 9:27. You die once and then comes the judgment. And you don't get to relive your life again and do that, okay? So I want to have that boldness to do that. I was on a plane flight going to Dallas. Don't ever sit next to me on a plane. I just highly recommend. And so I was on this plane flight and I had a Delta pilot sitting next to me. And we were flying to this place, and he told me he was a U-2 spy plane. So you remember the old U-2 spy planes? He was one of those pilots. And when he was leaving a base in South Korea, he was taking off, and the tail of the plane broke off the back of the plane. Okay, now I'm not a pilot, but I think if you lost the tail to your plane, that might be a little not really good, right? I mean, the tail broke off. So his plane starts going down, he ejects out, and so you know how in the exit row where it's got read this card to know how to open the door? Okay, he's in a space suit, because they go so high up. So he's got a helmet, he's got a full suit on. Well, it's got instructions on the inside arm to read what to do if you ever eject. Now, of course, nobody ever reads it, because why? They're never going to eject, right? Well, he had to eject. Well, he said when he ejected, Tom was his name, the plane passed him in the sky. Okay, and the plane is going past him in the sky. Well, the parachute comes out, he ends up coming down, and he lands in a South Korean river. Okay, so he told me he was in the river trying to keep his helmet up and paddling because he couldn't let water get in the what? The suit, because he would sink like a rock if it did, okay? So he's paddling, he's looking out this little globe thing, he's paddling. All of a sudden he sees this little brown hand reaching down towards him. You know what's funny? In life, when you're hurting, you're in trouble, you don't care if somebody's white, black, Asian, or Hispanic at that moment, okay? There's a hand willing to help me. I'm going to snatch up and grab that hand. You know what's interesting in military? When bullets start past your head, you don't care if the person next to you is white, black, Asian, or Hispanic, okay? Will you protect me when those bullets start flying? And if I get injured, will you get me the heck out of here? That's all you care about. Don't buy the lie when people are trying to separate us into different groups and saying this group is better than that group or this group is more discriminated than that group. No, because I talk to people all the time about this, okay? And I go right back to Genesis. And when God says in Genesis that let us make man in our image, everybody's made in the image of God. Everybody in Crossville, Tennessee, everybody in Tennessee, everybody in America, and everybody in this world is special to the Most High God, yes or no? And people don't know that. They've never heard those verses before, and that's how they can get into separate groups and do stuff like that. But see, I don't buy that. I'll walk right into the middle when discussions like that happen and remind people what God says about every single person on planet Earth, and I'm not overly concerned what other people's opinions are and do that, okay? And Pastor and I were talking earlier, and it says in Revelation, before the throne of God is meet, every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every nationality is going to be before the throne of God. I had a kid come in my office one day, teaching school, and he just had some racial issues he was wrestling with. I said, I have one question for you. He said, what? I said, do you have a friend of a different race? He said, no, I don't, Mr. Cale. I said, okay. I said, stand up. I said, there's the door. Walk towards the door and get out of my office. Okay? And go get a friend of a different race. Okay? And then come back in a couple months and tell me what you think. Okay? And if anyone will ever do that, they never walk back in your door again. Because you find out people are people. Wherever you go, people are people. Okay? There's some good folk, there's some not so good folk, but there's lost folk and there's saved folk, and that's really all it is. There's nothing more than that, okay? And sometimes we forget, we need to have friends of different races, right? We need to take someone of a different race out to lunch instead of everybody that looks like you. If I always tell my students and even my friends, if all your friends look like you, okay, you have a problem. You have a problem. Because heaven will be nothing like that. Nothing like that at all, okay? You want a different mix, and that's what helps break down these racial barriers in our culture and do that stuff. So when that brown hand reached down to him in that river, he didn't care. He grabbed that hand. And it was a little tiny South Korean rice farmer, and the guy pulls him up into the rice farm. Well, when he left the base saw what happened, probably heard what happened when the thing jumped. So they sent some helicopters. They went and got the guy, brought him back. Tom looked at me and he said to me, he said, you know what's interesting? He said, every time, I've been a Delta pilot for 25 years, and every time I hit turbulence, which is like what, every flight? Okay, right, if you ever fly, right? Every time, all I can think about is 25 years ago, when I was in that U-2 plane that went down, thinking I might just die. Tom, what do you think happens when you die? He said, well, I grew up as a Christian, but I completely walked away from it. Bingo. Tom and I had the most fascinating talk on this plane flight, okay? 5 gin and tonics later, he was going through a divorce. Life stunk. But can't we put truth in someone's life? Can't we let light shine into the darkness right there? I'm so glad God gave me that boldness right there to share with Tom. Fascinating. I'll never forget this guy. But I could have sat on that plane flight, drank my little green tea and read a book or whatever. I'm still going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. What would I have missed out on by not taking the time to chat with him and do that, okay? All right, go to Ephesians 6 and let's get ready to close it for you. So go to Ephesians 6, Galatians, Ephesians. Now, if I say Ephesians 6, typically, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Okay, we always think the armor of God. But now, Ephesians 6 is loaded. I mean, this chapter, they're all loaded. I mean, I'm not trying to put one above another, but this chapter is just crazy. The beginning of it, 1 through 4, is about children, raising children. But go right after the armor of God and go to verse 18. So 18 through, so Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And watch what it says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 19, and for me, Paul's saying, pray for me, that utterance, speaking may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth, what? Boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, chains, and therefore I may speak, what? Boldly as I ought to speak. See, Paul wrestles with the same thing we wrestle with, okay? We're Christians living here on planet Earth, but we're still wrapped in flesh. And when you're wrapped in flesh, we still care what people think about us, yes or no? Sure, it's just part of life. It's part of being in the flesh, okay? But Paul is saying, would you pray for my boldness as Paul, that I won't be acting like other Christians are acting, worrying what everybody thinks about me, okay? That I will literally be beyond that. Still wrapped in flesh, but beyond that flesh, that I ought to speak boldly as I'm supposed to be speaking. Okay? Because as the scriptures say, iron sharpens iron, boldness encourages other boldness. When I meet other bold Christians that are flat kicking and going for it, my jaw drops, okay? And I'm like, whoa, that encourages me to stay bold. When people email me stories of what they're doing, one of you fathers told me the story this morning, how you gave the book I wrote, One Heartbeat Away, to your son, and just what happened because of giving your son that book and stuff. Man, that story so encouraged me today, because that took guts. Because if you talk to a child of yours that's gone wayward and you talk about Jesus Christ, you have a chance for having something come in between your relationship with your child. Is that right? Yep. You've crossed that barrier now. And all of a sudden it can be not good, but you don't know what's going to happen with that. But boldness, okay, encourages other boldness. I need to get bolder and bolder and bolder. The problem is I don't have much time left down here to be bold. And by the way, if you want to know some of the boldest people on planet Earth, it's teenagers for Jesus Christ. I can show you some teenagers that'll make most of us adults look like fools for Jesus Christ. Bold, zealous, passionate. We had a kid on, played football in Texas, and he was a junior and got knocked down to JV. And as a junior, you never want to play JV, but you can do that in Texas. So he's on the JV, he didn't make the varsity team, I had him at a camp, and he called me up and said, Mr. Kelly, I'm going to start a Bible study here on